Before I begin the lesson tonight, I really want to appreciate and thank the men of the congregations that have come up here in the pulpit and offer the lessons for us here. We had a number of good lessons that the men have done, and I really do appreciate and thank you very much for fulfilling while Doug's been gone. Doug's going to hopefully maybe try next week. We'll wait and see how that goes, but hopefully he'll be able to preach next Sunday. Romans 12, call it the right behavior. Romans 12 is a section here that God uses some admonitions for us to use. And what I like to do is talk about not all of them, but part of them, of these admonitions that he has in the 12th chapter, and compare them to what the world thinks. This is what God thinks, then let's look at also a comparison how the world thinks about these things. Have you ever known Christians who are miserable? You're just not happy. And you would think, of all people, that Christians would be the most happiest people. Because they have that hope of spending an eternity in heaven with God. We're not saying that the journey is easy. The path is not easy. It's a hard one. But you should be joyous at the results of at the end of our time that we can spend eternity forever with Jesus and our God. People struggle, and they have struggled with serving God. And you've noticed that they may ask some questions sometime. Do I have to attend every service? How much do I have to give? Why does it matter who my friends are with these? The problem is they have not yet totally committed their lives to God. And that's the reason they ask these questions. They enjoy the world just a little bit too much. But now they have enough gospel in them to make them miserable, make them unhappy. That's the reason in Romans, the 12th chapter, Paul as the writer, gives some admonitions to help us to overcome some of these things and help us that we can change our whole outlook on life. And that's the problem that they have. They don't want to let go of the world, and they don't want to let go of Christ or his teachings, and they're trying to compromise and balance both of them. You can't do it. And they become very unhappy. They become miserable doing this. When one concentrates himself wholeheartedly to the Lord, not only will he experience a change in attitude towards serving God, but also with his fellow brethren and even with his enemies. You'll see a change in it. When these changes take place, no longer will he serve God with a have to, but he'll say, I want to. I want to serve God. I want to do his wills and his laws and his commandments. I want to change my attitude. I want to change my whole outlook on life that I can become a child of God completely. Not half-heartedly. And then you'll find out they will not be asking those questions. They will certainly do the things that they needs to be done. Have you ever realized that behavior, that the behavior commandments in Romans 12 are not so natural to us? We strive to learn the commandments given here throughout, and not only Romans 12, but throughout the whole scripture. But we just struggle with doing the righteousness of God on our own. Our inclination is not natural because of the world. We think more and more of the world, and it doesn't go in harmony with what Christ is teaching us in his teachings. And so that's the one reason that we sometimes strive to do this, but we struggle at it tremendously, and we're just not happy with doing these things. It begins in Romans 12, chapter verse 1 to 2. We're going to look at some of these expressions that he has and some of the admonitions. But he says in verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Conforming to the world is classified as an easy choice. And as we go through this, you'll see that it's a self-centered choice. We tend to, the world takes the easy way out. We can see how this happens in our jobs, our schools, our homes, our marriages, our friends, and the congregation. That we want to kind of blend in with everything. We don't want to cause any problems. We want to float along and go with it. And that's the way the world does. This is what you call the easy way. And in most cases, is the popular opinion, and it blends in well with the surrounding world. Because this is what the world looks like. This is what the world does. We're not different. We're not changed. So, Paul is telling them, being transformed, that is choosing to practice the righteous will of God from day to day. And it is truly the narrow way, it's the difficult way. This is something that we have to do every day. We have to make choices. And a way, we take the easy way out. The narrow way is small and narrow. And just, when you see that, that means it's difficult. It's not an easy path. And so that's the reason so many people are choosing the world. Presenting your body as a living sacrifice is never easy. As Paul in verse 1 is urging us to give ourselves to God. Not ourselves, but give ourselves to God. We don't think about self. We think about God and his will and what he wants us to do. By coming to God this way, we are seeking to please him, not us, not ourselves, and surely not the world. It is truly a life-changing choice when our mind is set on being acceptable to God instead of pursuing the acceptance of the world. To change your way, to change your thinking, to change your mind from the world to what is acceptable to God. Now, in the old days, they offered sacrifice. What did they do to them? They killed the animal. That was their sacrifice. But he asked them for us a living sacrifice, that we sacrifice ourselves while we're here up on this earth to please him, to do what is acceptable to him. I'd like to read now the verses 9 through 21 of the 12th chapter. Then we'll look at a few of these. I'm not going to look at all of them. I just want to look at a few of them and can do a comparison. Verse 9 says, "Let love be with hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil, having regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' said the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Start with one. Verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. You hate that is evil, but you love that which is good. However, the world way entices us to be hypocritical in our love, to love our closest family, friends, more than anyone else, to show favoritism to those we love the most, to prefer to love those who love us in return. The choice then must be made to follow the righteous will of God and love others without hypocrisy. God is the ultimate example of such complete love. And how do we know? We've been studying about it in the auditorium class in 1 John. How much God has shown that he has loved us as man. What he did for us and what he has done for us and what he will do for us. The text continues to say that hold what is evil, cling to what is good. Every day we must choose between good and the bad. Every day we have to do this. We have to make choices. Are we going to do evil this time or are we going to do good? The failures of us all reveal that we are imperfect in choosing correctly many times. There's sometimes we don't choose that which is right. Sometimes we choose that which is evil, which is not good. But as we are children of God, he has given us a way that we can ask for forgiveness of those things, to repent of them and turn them back and say, we're not going to do it no more. Even in our childhood, it seems we often attempt to what's called toe the line between right and wrong. Have you ever seen a small child testing the line with his parents? Does my daddy really mean no when he says that? Is she accurate when she says, I can't have a cookie right here before supper time? They test us on that. And parents, this is a good example for you. When you say no, mean no. And when you say yes, you mean yes. Show them by the example here. When you say no, that means you can't do it. That's the same thing we look as we as children of God. We look at God. We look at God all the time to help us. He's given these admonitions here he has in the Romans, the 12th chapter. If you want to do that which is good, do these admonitions that he's talking about. He says in verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. However, the worldly way would entice us to be selective about our love and give preference to ourselves. Now, we talk about, and I said in our time class, about how God says that Christ gave himself up. He died for you and I. Are you willing to die for your brethren? Are you just selective in who you choose to love? I like these people over here, but these people over here, I don't know. I just want to associate with them. No. The preference is not on ourselves. We're not to be that self-centered about it. God tells us to love our brother. Not lagging in diligence, verse 11. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The worldly way would entice us to be lazy. Give up. Do things that serve ourselves. And be fervent in the things that make us the happiest. Choice, yeah. You're going to take the difficult way or the easy way. And the world does, let's do it the easy way. Not the hard way, let's do it the easy way. And invariably, you look at it, it's self-centered choice. You're looking at yourself more than anybody else. You're out there to please yourself, not the other person, and especially you're not there to please God. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality, verse 13. The worldly way is enticing us more and more to be isolated from one another, look out for our own well-being and interest before anything or anyone else. Now, we saw how some of this was in when we had all this quarantine and everything like that. We became more isolated. We separated ourselves from it. We weren't really looking at too much for other people. And he tells you now, that's not the way to be. What you have, you share. You give to those that are in need. If you have a brother that's in need, you give to him. And you don't do it just by the voice of your mouth. Idle words. Empty words. You say, yeah, you go on and be filled and warm. And we do nothing for them. Those are idle words. Our actions will show where we truly love our brethren. If we do help those saints that are in need, and we show them by doing the example as Christ had told us to do, then we will help them as much as we can. Yes, we may be blessed, and they're not as blessed right now. Maybe they are going through a hard time. They got sickness or health issues and things. What are we doing about some of these things? Are we there for them? Verse 16, be of the same mind towards one to another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. The worldly way elevates self. You look at yourself first. What makes you happy? What's going to satisfy you? What other new thing that has come out now that I just got to have? I'm thinking about myself and not anybody else. That's the worldly way. We don't have our minds towards one another. We look at ourselves. And a lot of times this has to do with wealth, possession, fame, and pleasures. That's what we are seeking sometimes. That's the worldly way. And the world has come into our congregations. They have come into the church. And he's given the admonition, those are not God's way. Personal intelligence and standing versus other is commonly measured by pursued and awarded in the world. What are your goals you set upon? Where is your work or your school? What are you aiming for out there? Your success. That's you. It's your goal or your mindset is upon helping others when you can. Whether it's at work or school or whatever. Do you look at the other people to help them? See if you can take care of them. But no, we look at down the rewards that we can receive for ourselves. That's the way of the world. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. The worldly way is to get revenge. And to have regard for things that matter to our peers in order to gain acceptance and favors. Get to revenge. And if we can do something to gain ourselves in by our peers, that we can get more favors from them, that we can be accepted to them, then that's what we're going to do. No. That's not what he's talking about. We're sometimes tempted and sometimes about revenge. And we sometimes think about doing revenge in our mindset. That's not the way to be. We are lowering our standards down to the world when we seek after revenge. Because it says in verse 19, Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. The world encourages us to avenge ourselves and not take wrongdoing passively. If somebody does us wrong, we're going to strike back. That's not the right way. You think about it. What can you do to them in revenge that the Lord can't do much better? The Lord sees this. He knows what goes on. And let me tell you, his revenge will be so much worse than what I can do to that person. And there's no sense in me thinking about it or talking about it or anything like this. To get back even with them. The Lord will take care of it. God alone is the righteous judge worthy of exacting a vengeance. And I trust him at that. When he says, Vengeance is mine, I will repay. I have complete faith in that he will. Yes, people are going to take advantage of you. I'm sorry, but they will. Even Christians will take advantage of it. But don't seek out revenge. Let it go. And think about it. Unless they change, unless they repent about it, the Lord will take care of them. Then he says in verse 21, Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The worldly way will lead to a life full of evil thoughts and deeds. But a life submitting to the will of God will pursue good as defined by God. Okay? What is good? Well, God defines what is good. He tells us what is good. The world out there tells us what is good. And you see it in the denominations. They tell you, this is a good work. If it's not from God, it's not a good work. I'm sorry, it's not. You may think it is. They might tell you it's a good work. But unless God says it's a good work, it's not a good work. And now who am I to please? Man, or am I here to please God? God tells me there are some good works out there I mean doing. He's got some admonitions here later, not only in Romans 12, but throughout His Testament, that we need to look for and find them and do them. And that's the reason study and meditation upon God's Word is very important. Have you noticed that the worldly way seems self-centered? The choices are more for me than anybody else. It's not really to please God. It's to please me. And that's the world, the way the world goes, is pleasing me. And you can see it. You just look around about it. It's obvious. Greed, power, money. That's the focus of the world. Change your focus. Change it to the way of the Lord. This exercise of examining the ways of the world as opposed to the right behavior of a Christian probably seems elementary to you. However, the depth of our individual spirituality and faith is largely revealed when our thoughts, intentions, and actions are compared to both sides, good and evil. Of that teaching in Romans 12, I would suggest you go back and look at Romans 12 again. Look at something. May God give us the faith and the strength to be transformed to His will, to His Word. Change our outlook. Change our focus to God. Don't be self-centered, but be centered upon God. Let God be our main focus to it. Now, that's what I came to say tonight. That's it. Maybe there is someone out here that has not been converted to the teaching. Maybe their life is, yes, it's worldly, but they would like to make a change. And there's no better opportunity than tonight to make a change. Or you may have been converted, but you've gone back to that world. And you may be one of those miserable Christians that you have too much world into you, but not enough gospel to overcome it. You can change that again tonight. Think about these things as we stand and sing the invitation song.